And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. I'm talking about this show covers some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That'd be Alabama. From way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. So Scott heard me, apparently, Boomer.
Yeah. Oh, so, he did.
Yeah, I'm not a conservative, he says.
He's not a conservative?
He says, I'm a conservative, you're not. Disingenuous to suggest that I'm AEA. Taking money from one group and redistributing it to another is socialism. I'll send you an email explaining to you what socialism is. What the heck is he talking? So let me make sure you understand, Scott. We're not taking money from one group and sending it to another. We're decentralizing control, which is where the school systems, which are part of the government, are currently. And we're allowing people to keep their own money to put their kids in school somewhere else. And if you can't see that, if that's socialism to you, I'm just going to suggest that perhaps you might want to go back and study socialism. But that's okay. I'm not conservative because I believe in school choice. Wow. Jason from Huntsville. That's a long text, or Jason. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to read all that, brother. But he's talking about Jerome Powell, and I will read that during a break to make sure that I know what I'm reading before I try to read it on the air. Jim from Huntsville says, I heard a report that suggested the Trump grand jury was dismissed today because of the discovery that Bragg, DA Alvin Bragg, was actually or potentially withholding exculpatory evidence, potentially reams of it. You know what? I'm not going to be surprised. Not a bit. And for those who don't know, exculpatory evidence, this means they're supposed to, by law, and here's part of that January 6th thing that just irritates the stew out of me. By law, they are supposed to provide you copies of anything they've got, whether it helps or hurts their prosecution. Meaning, if there's something in there that actually helps you as a defendant, that's called exculpatory evidence. That might actually help prove your innocence or at the very least mitigate their claims against you. And they're supposed to provide that. And if they've been holding back on stuff in order to try and make their claim in front of the grand jury, I mean, the old saying is you can indict a ham sandwich with a grand jury. I mean, you can go in there and there's a lot more leeway in front of a grand jury than there is in front of an actual judge. You can get in there and kind of steer the questions. And I don't mean like artfully ask your questions in the right order. I'm talking about push people to a decision more so in a grand jury than you ever can in front of an actual jury or in front of a judge, where the procedure is, the rules of criminal and civil procedure directly apply, and you can object and you can preserve those objections on the record for appeal. So yeah, all said and done, we'll see. That's going to be interesting. All right, let me jump in there to the first part, and I'll just spend the next half hour angering Scott from Huntsville. Yeah, grab my notes. So Save Our Schools, SOS, Save Our Schools, first part of the Triple Dipper. So my belief is this. You will not see a better bill come to the Alabama legislature for school choice than the one that is currently coming up right now. It's called the Price Act. It stands for Parental Rights in Children's Education Act. And you remember we had, how long has it been, Boomer? About 2 weeks since we had Senator Stutz on here?
I believe so.
Yeah, he was talking about his efforts to bring this bill up. So previous champions in the House and Senate in Alabama were Representative Charlotte Meadows, who hails from down towards the Pike Road area and then near Montgomery. And then in the Senate, it was Senator Del Marsh. They're both gone now. Senator Marsh retired. Representative Meadows pretty much got hosed. And she was basically thrown to the wolves, in my opinion, by her own leadership, which is, still chafes me. More on that another time. But the new champions right now appear to be State Representative Ernie Yarbrough, who's going to carry this Price Act in the House, and State Senator Larry Stutz, who, and by the way, those are both North Alabama guys. Let's see, I'm trying to think. Ernie Yarbrough is from the Trinity area, I believe. And Senator Stutz, I believe, is from up around Haleyville, that area. Close. Northwest Alabama, both of them. So the deal is this. And here's Senator Stutz's words from an article that I pulled off of AL.com. He says, number one, it's the parent's responsibility to determine what is best for their child. Hence the name, the Parental Rights and Children's Education Act. And then number two, the money ought to follow the child. And then number three point, he says, if you don't want to participate, you don't have to participate. So the way this bill works is this. It creates what's called an ESA. An ESA is an education savings account that is basically set aside in your child's name. You don't have to do it. I mean, you may wake up in your zip code every morning content with the school that is there, and your child just goes to school, and you're fine. You know, and there are some great schools. There's some great public schools. I'm a product of the public schools. I had some good ones and bad ones in my life. But all said and done, you may be content with the zip code version of education for your child, and that might be the best decision. But guess what? It's your decision. However, you may be one of those parents or guardians who wakes up in the morning just frustrated that you can't move, you can't afford to move, or maybe your job doesn't let you move, or there's some aspect of where you live that you just, there's nothing you're going to be able to do about it. You know, maybe the family farm is co-located with that zip code, whatever. And now you're stuck with a school that is just not meeting your child's needs. And it can be for education, or it might be meeting their needs because of, you know, some bullying, or maybe there's, you know, some aspect of, you know, the social nature of the school that you just want to move or move your child. Well, this bill will allow you to say, you know what, here I am, John and Jane Doe, we want to move our child to that school down the road, and we want to send them to a private school, or we want to send them to, you know, a church school, or we want to whatever, doesn't matter. You're allowed to move. And the money follows the child. Because here's the deal, man. I've said it so many times on this show. The reality is, if you are of the belief that the way to handle this is to let the system be the sole source of determining what is right for your child, then you're a big government person. If you're of the mind that the funds that are paid by individual taxpayers into the system are there to fund the system, then you are never going to agree with school choice. But if you believe that those taxpayer dollars are going in to the bank, the state coffers, for the purpose of educating the child, then you should not even care where that is, as long as it's where the parents and legal guardians determine was best to get an education for their child. So, like, I've got this article right here, and I quote, State Superintendent Eric Mackey says he has not yet seen the bill, but he said the position he took on last year's legislation has not changed, because it did come up last year and didn't move. If non-public schools, he said, are to receive tax money, those schools should be required to participate in the testing programs used in public schools. And Mackey said the state could pay to administer the tests in the private schools. How about no? How about no? That may not always be the test. We've not been the best state at standardized testing. How about the idea might be, are the parents satisfied the child is getting an education? And secondarily, is the child getting an education? And third, is there a certification or validation process already in place for that school? Are they board certified? Are they a school that is meeting the mark with graduation rates? How about this? Do they have a higher percentage of their student body per capita that gets national merit semifinalist or finalist categories? Those kind of things matter coming in to do standardized testing. If you were so good at standardized testing, perhaps the school systems might be in a better place. But then even more so, I look at the comments delivered by Sally Smith, who is the executive director of the Alabama Association of School Boards. That's basically the lobbying entity for the school boards. They have concerns about specific parts of the bill, but they also oppose the concept upon when it's based. Okay. Using taxpayer dollars to pay for private school. See, that's the point. They believe the dollars are there for the system, not for the child. And then she goes on to make this ridiculous statement. Maddening, actually. This basically amounts, she says, to a middle-class entitlement program. Under this program, you'll have parents who have elected and can pay for their child to go to private schools, then getting money from the state coffers to send their children to elite summer camps or specialized foreign language schools at state expense because of the very, very liberal interpretations of the law. No, Sally, how about this? People who are of lower income will now have the ability to do what those with higher income have been able to do all along. People who can't afford to send their kids to a private school will now have that option for the first time. And how about this? Elite summer camps and specialized foreign language schools are not what's considered in the bill. And oh, by the way, let's do this. Let the parents make the choice, and you, Sally Smith, are not an elected official. So go do your lobbying, but the reality is this ain't going to fly. That's the silliest, most inane argument. All you're doing is helping the rich. No, truthfully, if you look at school choice around the nation, you'll find that the people who benefit the most are those from the lower income stratus who now have an opportunity to do something they never could have done, ever, because they pay taxes too. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Boomer, go ahead and take a break, brother. We're going to go take the break right now. We'll come back and take the break about a minute early so I have some time when I get back to unpack this a little bit more. Yeah, universal school choice. It's happening in other states, multiple states. And then on top of that, I got some stuff about what it takes for parents to begin fighting back. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Well, by the way, you're going to want to stay tuned because top of the hour, in this same vein, talking about school choice and saving our schools, you know, it's not just a matter of legislation. If you think that if you're concerned about education, if you believe in the idea of school choice or about reforming the fact that Alabama has remained down at the bottom of the heap for years and years, if you think it's about money, you're wrong because we have raised the education budget consistently year over year for the last decade at the same time we dropped lower in the polls. Think about it. So apparently it's not about how much money, it's about what we do with the money. And then on top of that, you can take a look at the fact that there's a number of states. I want to say last time I checked the listing, there was like 8 to 10 states that spend less per child than Alabama does and rank higher in the rankings. So that seems to indicate that it, again, is not about what we spend, it's about how we spend it. All that to say, there's multiple states right now that are passing major school choice measures. Governor Ivey is of the mind that we just sort of sit tight and do a little bit more about the, you know, the thing that we've kind of already been doing. Charter schools, you know, do a little more charter schools. Or for that matter, maybe we do a little bit more on the, you know, the whole notion of the Alabama Accountability Act, which is great. I love the Accountability Act. I was proud to be there and we fought to get it. But maybe, just maybe, those haven't been enough and it's time to do more. So, yeah, I'm of the firm belief that it's time to get out there. And, oh, listen, here's an idea. Let's lead. There's a novel idea. Let's get out front and say, I see a better way. Follow me, Alabama, Republican supermajority. And yet, you know, the weirdness that we've got in Alabama is that on some matters, we have a red, the deepest red of politics running purple as it passes certain types of legislation and ignores others. Weird. But there it is. So, here's the thing. The other piece, though, that's got to have to happen is parents and community leaders and members of the community and just concerned citizens in general got to get active. I got a piece right here. I watched an interview on I think it was Tucker Carlson, actually, a guy named Ian Pryor. He's coming out with a new book called Parents of the World Unite, How to Save Our Schools from the Left's Radical Agenda. And he talks about how he helped with the fight in Loudoun County, Virginia, the same thing that not only changed, well, this is still going, but not only changed some of what was happening in that school system, but many believe it's part of what propelled Republican Glenn Youngkin to the governorship and has really had an impact on their state politics. It was parents getting involved. And right now, by the way, this week, there's apparently something, and I need to check into this, in Congress, House Bill 5, being debated in the House of Representatives. It's called the Parents' Bill of Rights. It would provide greater transparency in public schools. It gives parents statutory rights alongside their constitutional rights about upbringing of their children. I mean, I got to check it out because I get a little concerned when I hear that Congress is taking action on schools, which are a state issue, but I still want to find out what that's about. But this guy, Ian Pryor, wrote this book, right? Parents of the World Unite, How to Save Our School from the Left's Radical Agenda. I've already reached out trying to see if I can get him on the show. But he says there's 12 strategic rules that parents, and I would say citizens, need to employ. He said one of the first ones is you need to recognize that every neighborhood is a battlefield. In other words, don't think about it. Well, it's down there in Montgomery. It's too big for me. No, it's right there in your neighborhood. It's in your zip code. If you don't like the school system in your neighborhood, you don't go to Montgomery to fix it. You can, in a way, but what you really do is you look at your school board. You look at what's going on in your schools. You look at whether or not you can get involved. And, you know, the PTAs, they'll also allow adjunct members, people who can come in and, you know, provide donations and do things and help raise money for their local school efforts and oh, by the way, be tutors and do all they can to raise the level. So every neighborhood is a battlefield, number one. And then he also has several things like activate, investigate, and communicate. What he's basically saying is don't be afraid to be a private investigator. You find out that something weird's going on at that school. You find out that teachers are bragging on TikTok that they're helping, you know, kids change their pronouns without telling the parents. Guess what? You can see something, say something. You know what I mean? And then he says always flip the script. This is interesting. He says, with a combination of fearlessness and humorous mockery, parents can punch through the far left's most potent psychological tool, which is the fear of cancel culture, and bring the fight back to the bullies. What he's saying is this. You want to go down that road? You want to dare to threaten my business because I spoke out about it? I'm here for you. And when they see that you're not scared, and when they see that, oh, by the way, the community is going to rally around you for taking a stand for the community, the bullies begin to back down. They also, he has a number of things in here. He talks about making it public. Don't be afraid of that. Go, you know, call the press to the next meeting because you're going to be there to protest, or at the very least, you're putting yourself on the speaker's list. It doesn't mean, by the way, that everything has to be about screaming and yelling and making a scene. Not at all. It can just be that 10 parents said, you know what, I'm going down. Let's go put our name on the speaker list and take 2 minutes and just, you know, tell them how we feel. Do it. Start there. They talk about things like don't let them off the ropes. Play the end game, which means, by the way, always keep in mind what the goal is. He says the end game was started as your primary goal. It can be subsumed into something much greater than you could have ever imagined it. But when it comes time to shift to that greater purpose, let your opponents distract themselves with what they think while you silently redeploy your efforts to stay focused on your final victory. Speaking in very general terms here, but I'm looking forward to getting a copy of this book. And I'm going to try and get this guy, Ian Pryor, on the show. In the meantime, do know this. That's already coming home. We're about to have a call in here from a friend of mine, former Alabama Republican Party chairwoman, Terry Lathan. She just started an organization called ROAM, R-O-A-M. It stands for Republicans on a Mission. And she says that basically she had a knee surgery. She was laying there thinking a lot, got bored, and decided to, you know what? I got to find something. And she used to be a school teacher. And, oh, by the way, she was party chair for the state Republican Party for like 8 years. And she said she's seen other states change their policies and allow school choice, and she does not know why Alabama can't do that. So as a former educator herself, she says she's tired of seeing kids locked in by their zip code. And so she has over 200 members already that are committing to go to Montgomery and contact lawmakers and do what it takes to try and get the PRICE Act, the Parents' Rights in Children's Education Act, passed. Well, I love this. So y'all stay tuned. We'll take a call here momentarily from former Alabama Republican Party Chairwoman Terry Lathan about Republicans on a Mission for school choice. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.